to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Hope you're all feeling in the mood. This is our very last podcast of 2019. We've done a full year of Ladies of Liverpool and you've been there every step of the way. So thank you very much. We are going to take a little bit of a break, though. Obviously, I'm down in the M&S Bank Arena doing Panto playing Wicked Queen. So I'm not going to be in the studio much between Christmas and New Year. I'm going to take a well-deserved break. Before we go, though, we've got such a treat for you right now. Have you heard of a girl called Holly Ellis? So she's been all over the news. And basically, this Scouse lady has decided to make it trendy to be something other than a social media influencer, helping our young ladies of Liverpool to aspire to be something that's a little bit different. So she's making being a scientist something other than what we imagine, you know, an old guy in a tweed jacket. She's making it cool and she's basically teaching our young ones to think outside the box. And for me, I think that is amazing. So for the last time this year, sit back and listen to a lady of Liverpool that I know you're gonna love. It's the one and only Holly Ellis.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Oh my word, Holly. You are everywhere.
Oh,
this
thanks.
Is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So, Holly, first of all, tell us how this all started, because there's a bit of a press storm around you at the moment. And I bet you didn't plan on it.
No, I can't believe how much it's like blew up so quick, really. So basically, I thought about this idea a few years ago that I wanted to make my own YouTube channel and social media platforms called The Scouse Scientist.
Yeah.
To kind of try and encourage young girls from Liverpool or boys or whoever to pursue a career in science.
Yeah.
I was worried for ages because I was thinking, oh, I'm just going to get trolled. I'll get about one like. So I didn't have the bottle to do it for ages, but finally I plucked up the courage a few weeks ago and yeah. started it. So
a few weeks ago?
Yeah, it
it's
was
that
literally
new.
Like 3 weeks ago when I first done my first video.
Yeah.
And it's all like gone down so well. Loads of people are interested. I've had loads of followers and messages off people, and it's all gone a bit crazy, really.
It's not easy, is it, to set up a YouTube channel? I know you can do all on your phone and that's great.
Yeah.
But to plan it, to make sure it gets hit, and you've got it, there's loads of like technical things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So did you go like full throttle and get the microphones and invest in it, or did it start by just doing a selfie video?
Yeah, no, it was literally my phone. So I don't have a clue when it comes to like technology or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, you know what, I'll just have a go. I'll do my first video and see how it goes down. And
yeah.
If I make a show myself, I'll just delete it and pretend it never happened.
That's always a good plan. That is a good plan. So why did you do it then? What's the story behind it? Because I was reading that you're a bit concerned with the young people today and how they're not really broadening the horizon, shall I say. They're sort of seeing what's right in front of them instead of looking beyond that to what you can be.
Yeah, so I feel like I've had some amazing opportunities in my life. So I had the opportunity to go to Oxford University.
And how did this come about? Just do really well in your A-levels or your GCSEs?
Yeah, so I was bright in school and doing well in sciences and maths particularly.
And what school was this, just in case the school are listening?
So I went to Holly Lodge, first of all. And then for sixth form, I moved to Bluecoat. But all my teachers across both schools, they were seeing that I was getting good grades and encouraging me to apply to Oxford University. Mm. But I was just like, no, no way. It's not for me. I can't possibly do that, you know.
When you say good grades then, Holly, tell me what kind of grades we're talking.
Well, the first thing that really like got the teachers kind of noticing it was because I think in my biology GCSE, I got like 100% in my first exam.
What?
So I think after that, the teachers, because I was dead into dancing and drama and I play the piano, stuff like that. So I wanted to go that route. But then when I was getting these good grades, some of my teachers and my family and that were kind of saying, why don't you pursue this instead? But I was just like, oh, I don't know, like scientists, you don't really see anyone being a scientist. So that's why I kind of wanted to put a thing out there to say to young girls, you know, you can do this.
Well, first of all, as a woman, I'm going, thank you, Holly, for doing this and opening people's eyes up. That, you know, the young girls today, I'm a firm believer in you can be what you can see.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So I'll go out into schools or I'll speak at different events and I'll say to our teenagers in Liverpool, you know, don't just think about what the people around you are doing.
Yeah.
Pick something that you really love. And I bet you there's a career in that, so you're not going to work every day hating it and dragging your feet.
Exactly.
There'll be something out there, and the job that you want to do might not even exist, so why not invent it?
Yeah,
Why not invent that job? Because when I was a teenager, you couldn't be an influencer, you couldn't be a YouTuber.
Yeah, exactly.
All these things just didn't exist. So thank you. I just think you're brilliant with everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
But also, I want to know a bit more about you. What got you to this stage? So how did science become a thing for you?
So, like I said, when I was getting these good grades in science, a lot of my teachers were kind of pushing me down that route, trying to say, you know, you're good at this, why don't you go into it? And then I started, like at GCSEs and A-levels, you learn a bit about genetics. And for some reason, it just clicked with me. I found it easy to understand, and I found it so, so interesting. And I just knew straight away, oh yeah, I really actually enjoy this.
Yeah.
And then obviously at uni, I did biological sciences, which is just like a broad biology degree. But then since that, I've gone into genetics. So now I work in a genetics lab as a clinical scientist.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So you're not related to any scientists? You've got no mate who is a scientist. You don't hang around with scientists before you become a scientist, do you?
No, not really.
So how did your mum and your family and your friends take it when you said, I'm going to be a scientist?
My mum has always been dead supportive of me, so she doesn't really care what I did as long as I was happy and doing what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So she was just over the moon with anything I would have picked, she would have probably loved, to be honest. But I think, as a young girl, you're always worried about what other people think. So even when I was doing things like applying to these top unis and these, you know, top jobs, like people, you'd always think, oh God, what are people going to think? Are they going to think, you know, oh, who does she think she is type of thing?
Yeah,
and it always is a worry.
And was there a part of you when you went to Oxford when you thought, I don't know if I belong here? Am I going to fit in?
Yeah.
Because I've got an opinion in my head, which is probably totally wrong, of what Oxford would be like.
Yeah.
Was it the same for you? Did you sort of have a preconceived idea of what would be going on?
So I was encouraged to apply to Oxford. And as soon as I told my mum and nan that, they were like, oh, yeah, go for it, go for it. So I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't really want to. And they were like, well, just apply. You probably won't get in anyway. So I did apply.
Proper scout support there. Have a go. They probably won't like the likes of you. But go on, go and have a go.
Yeah, so I had to go. And then when I got in, I absolutely panicked because I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to go now. And I hadn't really considered it because I just really didn't think I'd get in. And then the night we went down, the night before, me mum and me nan, and we stayed in this like little rough hostel the night before, and I just stayed up the whole night crying my eyes out. I got in bed with my mum and went, please, I don't want to say it, it's not for me. I was just terrified because I was thinking, everyone's going to be dead posh, dead rich, I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb with this accent. And I just thought, I've made a big mistake, like I really don't want to go. I've changed my mind. Panic. So in the end, my mum said to me, right, look, just please stay for 1 week. I'll come back this time next week. And if you don't like it, I'll bring your own. But please stay for a week.
Yeah.
So I just said, all right, then I'll stay for 1 week. But I'm coming home. I'm coming home next week. I went, book your train tickets now so you're not lying. So she did. And anyway, so I was quite content then thinking, right, well, I'm only staying here for a week, so I'll be fine.
Like a man, just count the days down.
Yeah, exactly.
Seven sleeps to go, six sleeps to go. Yeah.
And then the first day when I got there, I literally loved it. And my mum did come back the following week because I forced her to book the train tickets.
So what happens when she turned up? Are you like loving life with loads of mates?
And she was like, are you going to stay? And I was like, yeah, I love it. And literally from the first day, like, don't get me wrong, it was amazing. There was loads of people from wealthy backgrounds, but there was people from all backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, you know, everyone was kind of at the same level and everyone was new, everyone wanted to make mates, and I just seemed to make friends really quick and just fitted right in, and it wasn't anything to be scared of.
No. So talk me through the friendships you've made then, so how many years did you spend at Oxford?
So it was three years that I spent there.
Okay, and the friendships you've made, have they gone past the 3 years? Are they still your friends
now? I'm still really good friends with loads of them. I went to someone's wedding earlier in the year and we all keep in touch and we're all from different parts of the country as well. So it's good because we just go and visit each other in different cities. And
so how do you manage then to keep both things going? Because you're working full time. Tell me all about your job.
Yeah, so I'm working at Liverpool Women's Hospital. Mm-hmm. It's called the Northwest Genomics Lab. So it's basically at the, in a genetics lab at Liverpool Women's. And what I do is basically diagnosing people with genetic disorders. So that can be things from things that are running in your family and you want to know whether you're going to get this condition or not.
So like you hear about people whose like mom, auntie, nan have had breast cancer.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And they're given that option to find out whether they're at high risk.
Yeah, that's exactly okay. Right. So if there's a high risk or someone in your family's got a mutation in, so something's wrong in one of the breast cancer genes, the BRCA genes, then we can test you whether you've inherited it or mm-hmm. not. And then based on that, if we find out, you have inherited this, you've got a high risk of developing breast cancer, then that obviously gives the woman choices then whether she wants to have risk-reducing surgery or earlier surveillance and things like that. So that's
it's
like
amazing,
a big part of what we do,
So there you are, you're working hard and then you're coming home at night and you're getting the camera out and you're doing videos. Talk me through some of your videos. Which one's your favourite one that's gone out so far?
I think I've only done three so far because, as I said, it's only been doing it a few weeks, but I managed to get permission to film in the lab, which was really gone down so well because I think when people get genetic testing, they get the blood sample taken and then like a few weeks later, they'll get the result back.
Yeah.
But they don't really realise all what goes on in the lab in order to get that result. So I've tried to show that in my video. So I've filmed exactly what happened from the sample coming into the lab, all the different processes, what go on, all different people involved in the lab. To then coming to me to analysing the results.
And this
and
is all on
report.
Your phone? You've just got your smartphone out, just videoing it all yourself?
Yeah, it's not even very good quality, to be honest. I think I need to invest in a decent camera.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I want you just to sign out by telling people why they should be watching your videos and maybe an inspirational message. Because at the beginning of this podcast, I'm going to be asking mums, dads, aunties, uncles, anyone who's around a young person.
Yeah.
To make them listen to this podcast, to be inspired by you, Holly. So what are your words of wisdom for those youngsters who are listening right now?
Yeah, so it's basically, it all started because I wanted young people to aspire to be whatever they want to be. So it spreads beyond science. Obviously, science is my thing and that's what I'm interested in. But the message goes beyond that and it kind of says, you know, young people out there, you can be whatever you want to be and don't let these stereotypes get in your way. So just because you're from a certain background, a certain school, you've got a certain accent, don't let that stop you because you can achieve anything, basically.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So Holly, you're doing well achieving all the things that you want to do. So off you go to Oxford, you do really well, you get a brilliant job, you're loving life, now you're spinning this second plate of doing YouTube. And what's in your future? What other plans have you got that maybe you can talk about now? I don't know, maybe I can help you out with them.
Yeah. Well, I think that obviously I've worked really hard to get my job as a clinical scientist in the lab, so I never want to let that go. Mm-hmm. I always want to kind of stick to that. But obviously all this has been going so well and what I always wanted to do, dreamt of, was to have my own science show out there. Because I think when people see scientists on the telly, it's always a mad scientist, you know, a crazy person with wacky hair.
And an old fella.
An old man. And I just think young girls, how are they going to look at that and think, that's what I want to do? They just think it's not for them.
You make a brilliant point.
If they see me and, you know, I have got a thick accent, which I can't get rid of, so I'm just dealing with. And, you know, if they see someone like me on the telly or on, you know, anything really, on social media, then hopefully that'll be able to give them something to look up to, kind of.
Definitely, definitely. So you're going to continue with the YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed she ends up on telly. Yeah. We would love that. So I don't know, maybe if you know someone who's involved in doing pilots for TV or you know someone who's studying. Because I think with your videos, if you could get someone who's studying doing filmmaking,
yeah,
who could take it to the next level,
yeah,
what's stopping you from pitching that out to some of the big TV channels?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm hoping for, because at the minute, like I said, with videos, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing with all the editing. So I'm just doing what I can on my phone and uploading that. But yeah, if anything, you know, any help with that would be appreciated.
Definitely. Oh, we've got good people listening to this podcast. Oh, they always step up. Can you talk me through some of the, and maybe you haven't had any, but have you had any moments where you've doubted yourself?
Yeah.
Have there been moments where you thought, other than the night before you started Oxford,
yeah,
where you've gone, I'm too deep here?
Yeah, well,
because we all have those, don't we?
Always, yeah. And I'm always having, you know, a breakdown. I'm so dramatic. I always say, oh, I can't cope. So, yeah, there's been absolutely loads of times, even with, you know, applying when I was in school. I did have a bit of a hard time in school as well, to be honest, in the first year when I went to secondary school. You know, it's a big change, and I was, believe it or not, quite shy.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it a big shock, really, to go to this big school. And I was so intimidated by all the older girls and people misbehaving, and I was dead good.
Yeah.
I was a little goody two-shoes. Mm-hmm. And I did have a really struggle, to be honest, that first year in school. I had loads of time out. I really had a difficult time without going into too much detail with certain girls, and you know what it's like when you're all girls in the school.
Oh,
and
don't,
that.
Charlie, because I dread it. My little lad's nearly 10,
oh,
and I'm dreading big school. He can't wait. He's really excited. But I don't think they quite understand the jump from primary school to secondary school. And, and these young people, if they haven't got the guidance of the parents keeping a close eye, they can get lost in the mix trying to prove themselves.
Exactly.
You know, and that's obviously what you've come across.
Yeah, so I really struggled because, you know, people were going to, in primary school, it was like, you were, if you were top of the class and clever and all that,
it was a good
thing. It was good thing.
Yeah.
But then when you go to secondary school and you all of a sudden, you know all the answers, and you're getting, it's not like cool to be like that anymore.
Yeah.
So I found that really hard. So I think times like that, you know, that's also a reason why I've tried my hardest now to do so well, to kind of look back at those moments and think, well, you know what, you went through that and it made you the person that you are today.
Exactly,
and you've just always got to, if, you know, any kids are going through a tough time, just think, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel and you'll overcome it and get through it, and at the end of it, you'll be a better person.
And who helped you through those times? Because I've got a feeling you and your mum are pretty close.
Yeah, so me, growing up, it was me and my mum. My nan lived opposite and my auntie lived next door and she had no kids.
Oh, that's like a dream.
So, I know. So it was just, I basically said I had three mums growing up. Unfortunately, my auntie passed away when I was 16, so that was really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like me, my mum, my nan, and we're just so, so close. And anything, they even dropped me off here today.
Oh,
they were like,
that's
gorgeous. We'll come and pick you up from work and drop you off, because it's like we always say, me and my mum are like the sisters and my nan is like the mum.
Yeah.
That's what it's like, because it's always just been like the three of us, and we are dead close, and I'm dead lucky to have that. But I know Scouse women in particular are always, I think loads of them have got the mum and the nan, and they're all dead close, aren't they? I don't know if it's just a Scouse thing.
We're like lionesses, aren't we?
Yeah.
Whether it's your family or your mates, you have a little pack. Not everyone. I've done podcasts before. I spoke to a girl one time, and on here she was telling me she feels bad that a lot of us, like we just did, would so just so easily throw away, I've got my mum, I've got my friends, I've got my family, I've got our tribe, our lionesses. There are girls who don't have that.
Exactly.
And I didn't realise till we did that podcast just how many girls out there don't.
Yeah.
So you take that just for granted, don't you?
Well, that's hopefully what I can help with as well, because I was lucky enough, as I said, to have my mum and my nan support me. But like you said, not everyone has that and has that encouragement.
No.
So hopefully my message will reach them people as well, and hopefully they'll be able to find me as a source of encouragement for them.
Yeah. Do you know what I think's lovely about you, Holly, is that you're doing something outside the box. And you're an inspiration, not just to the young ones. Of course you are to the young ones. You know, you're making them believe they can achieve anything, and that's great. But also the older teenagers, the young mums.
Yeah.
I think loads of women from different age brackets and different backgrounds can look at what was going out on the news with you the other week and say, you know, if this girl can do this, maybe I don't want to be a scientist.
Yeah.
But I can do something different.
Yeah, that's exactly
I don't have to do
message.
What people expect me to do. And it can be a positive thing as well.
Yeah, Exactly. That's what I wanted to say, because obviously science is my thing. That's what I love, and I'm doing what I love. But as I said before, it's more spreading the message of you can achieve anything you want. And I want people to look at me and think, you know, if she can do it, then so can I.
Love it. Holly, it's been lovely speaking to you.
Oh, thanks
Wishing
so much
you all
for
the luck
me.
In the world. And if we can help with anything, you know where we are.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.